Quick heads up, I do full chart readings at iamastrologyreadings.com if you want to go deeper. All right, let's get to it.
Hello. You can find me at Tarot360Astrology on Instagram if you wish to know anything more. I'm going to talk about tarot in general, like what it is, its origins, and what it's evolved into. If I say the word tarot, what comes to mind? Be honest. Is it candles or incense or someone staring at you like they already know why your last relationship didn't work? Or is it that one friend who bought a deck of tarot cards on a random Tuesday and they did three readings and they now introduce themselves as intuitive? You're like, you used to sell car insurance. What happened? But here's the truth that surprises almost everyone. Tarot did not start mystical. It did not start ancient. And it definitely did not start with someone predicting your love life. Life, it's in a Netflix series. It started as a card game. Let's ground this in facts. Because this is where you separate real knowledge from TikTok mythology. Between 1375 and 1378, playing cards were being used in Europe, likely through trade routes connected to the Islamic Mamluk Sultanate. Those early decks already had structure. Cups, swords, coins, and polo sticks. That was polo sticks. Let's keep our mind out of the gutter. So, before tarot was deep, and some people do like it deep, it was basically, I raise you one king of polo sticks. Again, that was sticks. And somehow, we evolved from that to, your aura feels blocked. Humanity really is incredible. Now fast forward to around 1420. Northern Italy, in Milan, in Florence, and Venice. This is Renaissance Europe. Art, power, wealth, and rich families competing like, who has the best paintings? And who has the best palace? And who has the most unnecessarily beautiful playing cards? Now we enter tarot. The earliest decks, called Carte da Triomphi, which means cards of triumph, appear between 1420 and 1450. These are luxury items. They are hand-painted. They have gold leaf. They are commissioned by elite families. So tarot didn't start in a cave with monks. It started in a mansion with rich people who were bored. Which honestly was how most things get invented. One of the earliest known commissions comes from Filippo Maria Visconti, the Duke of Milan. Around the 1420s to the 1430s, in that range. An earlier deck painted by Michelino da Bisazzo had about 60 cards, including 16 trump cards featuring Roman gods and suits made of birds. And those Trump cards did not have Donald Trump on them, by the way, back in the 1400s. So yes, tarot started with mythology, birds, and aristocrats, which sounds less like mysticism and more like a very expensive board game night. By around 1450, we get the Visconti Sforza decks, the most famous surviving tarot decks today. About 15 partial decks still exist, scattered across museums and private collections. These decks already include kings, queens, and knights, and virtues like justice and fortitude, and figures like death and the fool and the wheel of fortune. Now let's address something real quick. People see death and immediately panic. But in the 1400s, death wasn't shocking. Life expectancy was low, plagues were common. Death wasn't a surprise guest, it was a regular. So pulling the death card back then wasn't like, oh no. It was like, yeah, that tracks. By the late 1400s into the 1500s, tarot spreads across Italy and into France. The name evolves into tarot. And here's a fact most people don't know. In the 1500s, there was a social game called tarocchi. Appropriati, where players assigned each other tarot cards and had to explain, often in poetic form, why that card matched the person. So imagine sitting there and someone goes, "You are the fool," and I wrote a poem explaining your life choices. That's not entertainment. That's a public roast with structure. Now here's the part people always get wrong. From 1420 to roughly the mid-1700s, which is over 300 years, tarot was just a game. No fortune telling, no predicting your future spouse, no this card means he's emotionally unavailable. You didn't need tarot for that. You could just observe. Some people have a problem observing and being in the present. And there's also people that are too poor to pay attention. So then we hit 1781. This is where everything happens. A French scholar named Antoine Court de Gibelin publishes a book claiming tarot was actually an ancient Egyptian system, the legendary Book of Thoth. Here's a real important detail. He had zero evidence. None. He basically looked at the cards and said, this feels Egyptian. And people believed him. Which proves something powerful. Confidence will get you further than accuracy. At least initially. Then comes Jean-Baptiste Elieta, also known as Italia. Around 1788, he becomes the first professional tarot reader. By 1789, he publishes a deck specifically designed for divination and creates one of the first guidebooks. So within about a decade, tarot goes from a card game for Italian nobles to a mystical system for predicting life events. That's one of the fastest glow-ups in history. Right up there with someone going to the gym for 2 weeks and suddenly posting fitness advice. Yeah. Now we move into the 1800s. Enter Eliphas Levi, who connects tarot to the Kabbalah and the Hebrew alphabet. Again, these connections were not part of the original tarot, but people love them because humans love to connect dots, even when the dots were never meant to be connected. Then we hit 1888, the founding of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn in England, a secret society that took tarot and turned it into a full symbolic system, linking it with astrology, Kabbalah, and ceremonial magic. This is where tarot becomes complicated. This is where you open a book and think, am I learning tarot or studying for a final exam? Now here's the most important modern milestone, which would be the year 1909. Arthur Edward Waite commissions artist Pamela Coleman Smith to create a new deck. And this changes everything. For the first time, all 78 cards, including the minor arcana, are illustrated with full scenes. Before this, a card might just be 10 swords. Now, it's a person face down with 10 swords in their back. Basically, the universal symbol for, yeah, that meeting could have been an email. Now, people just don't memorize meanings, they feel them. This becomes the Rider-Waite-Smith deck. And that came about because of Arthur Waite, who commissioned Pamela Smith. So combining those names with Waite and Smith, that's how they came up with the Rider-Waite-Smith deck. Still, the most widely used deck in the world over 100 years later. That's not popularity, that's legacy. Then, in the 1940s, Aleister Crowley creates the Tho tarot deck, painted by Lady Frieda Harris. It's deeply symbolic and layered and complex. That's the deck you use when you want your reading to feel like a philosophy lecture mixed with a mild existential crisis. Now, fast forward to the 1960s and 70s. Tarot enters mainstream culture. Authors like Eden Gray make tarot accessible to everyday people. And here's the major shift. From predicting fixed outcomes to exploring the inner world, psychology enters, especially ideas inspired by Carl Jung and archetypes. So, tarot becomes less about what will happen and more about what's going on with you, which is a much better question and also slightly more uncomfortable. Now let's talk modern era. During the COVID-19 pandemic, which was in the year 2020 and went into 2021 and 2022, the United States searches for tarot cards increased by over 30%. Because when the world gets unpredictable, people look for meaning. Also, people had time a lot of time. Some people bake bread. Some people made bread. Some people learned tarot. Some people learned how to play with themselves. Same energy, just different outcomes. Today, the tarot and oracle industry is projected to reach around $93 million by 2027. There are thousands of decks. You've got traditional decks, and artistic decks, and inclusive decks, and pop culture decks. There are tarot decks for astrology, and mythology, and spirituality, and yes, even cats. Not the cats that I like to play with, but nonetheless, maybe that deck will be created someday. Because nothing says spiritual authority like a cat judging you from the Emperor card. Ah, man, come on. Tarot is now used in therapy and creative writing and art and personal development. Even fashion. Brands like Dior and Gucci and Versace have used tarot imagery, which means someone, somewhere, paid thousands of dollars to wear the fool. Some people pay thousands of dollars to marry a fool. And honestly, that might be the most accurate use of the card in history. Let's clear up the biggest myths. Tarot did not come from ancient Egypt. Tarot was not brought into society by Romani travelers. Tarot was not originally tied to Kabbalah or astrology. All of that came later, mostly after the late 1700s. Historically, tarot begins in northern Italy between 1420 and 1450 as a card game. That's the foundation. Everything else is evolution. And yet, despite all the changes, tarot survived for over 500 years. Why? Because it adapts. The Renaissance used it for entertainment. The occultists turned it into mysticism. Modern culture uses it for self-awareness. And through all of that, it became a mirror. Because at its core, tarot is simple. It's a system of images. And humans are meaning-making machines. We see symbols, and we tell stories, and we project, and we interpret, and we reflect. That's not magic. That's psychology with better artwork. So whether you see tarot as spiritual, or psychological, or artistic, or just a creative way to think through your life, it's been doing the same thing since the 1400s. Getting people to pause and look at their patterns and maybe, just maybe, make better decisions. And let me leave you with this. If you pull a card you don't like, it's not a curse. Chill out, man. It's feedback. If you ignore it and do the same thing anyway, that's not fate. That's you with confidence. And no deck since 1420 has ever been able to fix that. That's tarot. From Renaissance game tables to occult mystery to modern self-awareness. With a few dramatic plot twists and some creative storytelling and a lot of humans trying to figure themselves out along the way. And if you're paying attention, but let me remind you, some people are too poor to pay attention, the real magic was never in the cards. It was always in how you read the story. Thank you for listening. I do hope you enjoyed this sort of history lesson on tarot, and maybe you grabbed a pen and paper and took some notes, but I'm not placing any faith in that. You might even have a tarot deck. Maybe look around. It's probably gathering dust on a shelf somewhere. People like to get decks and books and use them as paperweights or doorstops. But hopefully you have a deeper understanding of things after I went through the evolution and the transitions that tarot was went through over the past 500 years. All right, all you cats out there that are following me and interested in me, well, I don't blame you. As always, remember to stand in your own truth.
If you like these daily horoscopes and want one personalized for you, same style, 3 minutes, about your chart, you can book a first impression reading at iamastrologyreadings.com for $25 and I'll record it, drop it right here on the feed. Tips is also welcome, even a dollar helps. Full deep dive readings also available. Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, all at I Am Astrology Readings. My brother's gotta eat too. I appreciate you in advance.